hard to believe we are a little more than three quarters of the way through the year. At the beginning of this year, I wrote an article in Family Matters, which, let me tell you, I think is a beautiful newsletter that gets published here. And I wrote about a word in that particular issue at the beginning of the year called koinonia. Our first Sunday, we kind of revisited that word, and the elders and I kind of sat before you as a congregation and talked about why fellowship needed to be a theme that wasn't just explored, but experienced during the course of this year. And in the vision that has been set before us, that what we call 2030 vision, we have seen aspects over the last couple of years that help to develop us as disciples. And so I want to continue to come back to this word koinonia and kind of dig into it a little bit. The word itself is used, I think, 19 times in the New Testament. It is often translated fellowship. But when you dig into the word itself, fellowship for us is so surface. It brings out this idea of partnering, sharing. It is even used in the sense of communing with Christ, or Christ communing with us through the body and the blood. Sometimes we talk about fellowship and connecting, and we generally hit the surface. And I understand that. I mean, you can't go deep in every conversation that you have. But I was called out one time, and it really impacted my life. I asked a person who I knew had lots of issues in their life. I was trying to be honest and sincere, and I asked him, "How you doing?" And it's not that they took offense to that phrase, but they said to me, "I don't know how to answer the question. Are you asking me how am I doing physically? Are you asking me how am I doing emotionally, mentally, spiritually? What do you mean by how am I doing? I don't know me well enough to just give you a quick answer." And I thought, wow, I just took the lid off of some box and it just poured out. I have learned to do better in different times in being very specific, especially with that person, and asking how they are doing. But what it helped me to just realize is that many, many times my idea of fellowship with you, it just kind of rides along the surface. It's not bad, but it's not really koinonia. Koinonia is going to take me to a deeper level of sharing and partnership and communing in your life. It's going to develop discipleship in a way in which we don't just walk together, but we are walking with Christ, and therefore all the aspects of our life are just set before us all the time. And it can be a struggle for some people to go much deeper than just the casual, hey, how you doing? And the answer, oh, I'm doing fine. How are you? I'm doing fine too. And pat each other on the back and walk out the door. I really do get that. And there's probably a good time and a place for that. But it doesn't describe fellowship. It just doesn't. Let me ask a different question. How is your fellowship with God? If I were to sit with you and you and I were just to talk, we're sitting somewhere privately and I just said, how is your fellowship with God? How's your walk with Him? I can guarantee you that that starts at a different place than just saying, how you doing? It just starts at a different place. Because it makes God the center of the conversation. And it calls upon me to do some self-reflection on how is my fellowship with God. Am I in fellowship with God? Do I partner, if you will, with God? Do I commune with Him? Do I share with Him? This morning, and you can follow along if you like, or just listen, I want to read to you the first chapter of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This morning, I just want to walk through some, at least for me, some examples, illustrations through Scripture of what it means to be in fellowship with God. That idea of walking with Him, being in the light with Him. Because I can maybe grasp at a deep enough level my connection with another human being. But it is really difficult for me to really grasp being in fellowship with God. God is so holy, so great, so mighty. And then there is me. And the contrast is overwhelming. Now, I'm not putting anybody down. It's a little easier for me to be in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ because Frankly, you're not that much greater than I am. You might be greater than I am, but you're not God. Okay? So we give and take with each other. But then there's God, the Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, the I Am who always existed, who was always present, who always will be. And now I am called to be in fellowship, in partnership, in connection with the divine. And I'm telling you, that's difficult for me to grasp. I mean, John throws it out to us, and Paul says our fellowship with God is through Jesus. Paul writes that. But John is calling us to be in fellowship with him. And he does so by asking us to examine our walk. In Alan's class on Ephesians, he has dealt with that on multiple levels, and taking that term walk and we see that in our life. So let me give you some examples. I'm going to jump back to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and I'm going to begin with verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he followed Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Have you just pondered that phrase? I kind of get Elijah. You know, Elijah gets taken up in this whirlwind, this chariot, however you want to look at it. This is big shindig that happens, and he goes, and Elisha is there. Enoch, we get this. We just get this. But twice in this passage, the statement that is made is that he walked with God in the garden before sin. God walked with Adam and Eve. Walking has to include some type of depth of connection. It is more than just simply, how well do I obey the commandments? Yes, I need to do that. But walking with has the concept of this togetherness, this sharedness. When the Hebrew writer brings up Enoch, Hebrews chapter 10 or 11, I'll look up on the screen, that'll tell me the right answer. Hebrews 11 and verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. The Septuagint uses that type of phrase in Genesis. The Greek version of the Old Testament uses that phrase in Genesis. The Hebrew writer, Greek New Testament, has this phrase of, he was commended for having pleased God. So my walk with God is predicated on, am I pleasing him? Is God looking at me and not to take light of what he says with Jesus, but does he say to concerning me, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased? Isn't what we want to hear on the day of judgment, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into your father's household? Isn't that what we're looking for? So my desire of fellowship with God is to walk with him in a way that pleases him. John uses this phrase, light, that if we walk in the light as he is in the light. In fact, it describes God just in the verse prior to that as I was reading, God is light. So every aspect about my life is being exposed by God. And I am wanting to live worthy of the calling to which I have been called. Perfection, I haven't attained that. Faithfulness, I seek. So how do I get to this point? Jesus illustrates in many different ways, but I want to just take you to John chapter 20, chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27, Jesus makes a statement, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." As I walk with God, and I use God as the whole being of God, okay? God is one. So I think trying to separate Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is, to some degree, not beneficial. God is God. So I'm wanting to please God, and the first thing I'm going to have to do, or one of the things I'm going to have to do, is hear his voice. There is so much noise in the world, kind of like that motorcycle that just went by. Okay? Seriously, how many of you heard the motorcycle that just went by? Everybody. Okay? Did your mind get taken to it? Yes. Here's my point. I'm standing up here talking. There's a motorcycle going by. We get drawn to the noise. It happens in life. It does. Okay? So I need to learn to hear the voice of Jesus above the noise of the world. And that takes training my ear. We train our ear physically. Do you know what your spouse sounds like? I'm going to go with yes. I'm going to at least hope the answer is yes. So you're in a store, you're on two different aisles, and you hear your spouse talking. You know that's your spouse, so now you know you're at least one aisle off and you need to go to the next aisle. Okay? You have trained your ear to hear their voice. Are there other people that speak in the grocery store? Yes. But you hear the voice of the one you love. So that voice rises above all the other noise in the grocery store. We do it with our children. We know their voice. And when they cry out, we can pick out our individual child amongst a crowd of crying children. So Jesus says, "My sheep know my voice, hear my voice, and they follow me." So when, and I know this is pushing us, when I deal with passages that do seem to be impossible, am I going to listen to the voice of God, or am I going to listen to the voice of man? It's hard to hear God over my own understanding. I've said this multiple times, I got to get me so far out of the picture that all you see is Christ. And then listen to what he has to say. Let me give you another example of fellowship with God, this being with God. Jesus gives multiple parables that center around dining together. Jesus, I think, loved to eat. I really do. Because table fellowship allowed a depth of relationship and conversation that didn't happen when people were just going along through life. You slow down. You stop. You sit at the table. You eat. I will say one of the things our family did when our children were home, that our kids, after they left the home, talked about, is we ate dinner at the table every night together. No TV, no TV trays, no movie. We sat at a table, the six of us, and we ate. And when they invited their friends to come over to the house, we would just extend the table, and we would sit, and we would eat. But we never just ate. We always talked. It just happened. We were already sitting at the table, and the conversation would just go on. And all of a sudden, an hour and a half had passed. And in this family discussion, we've been sharing life with one another. One of our children mentioned to me and said one of her friends commented on that, that every time they came to our house, we always ate together as a family. The reason they comment is she said, we never do that. We just sit in the living room. And the food is in the kitchen and you just go grab a plate and then you just go and eat in your bedroom or in the living room or wherever. She said, your family is so odd. And I think she meant it in a good way, but you never know with teenagers, okay? Jesus uses table as fellowship in a huge amount of his parables. But I'm going to take you to I'm going to take you to the book of Revelation for just a moment. And I want you to think about the church at Laodicea. The church at Laodicea has nothing good said about it. The seven churches, there's normally things good and bad said about several of them. Nothing really good said about Laodicea. Okay. This was a church that thought it was rich. This was a church that thought it had it all together. And Jesus sends this message to them that says that they ought to understand that they are poor, blind, and wretched, and naked, and that they ought to gain from him clothing, eye salve. But here's the verse I want you to listen to. Chapter 3, verse 20. Jesus talking to the church. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Jesus is seeking fellowship with a church that didn't realize Jesus wasn't present. He's outside. They're the church, and Jesus isn't there. That's scary. Sorry, that's really scary. And the illustration he uses as I'm standing at the door knocking, I so want to come in and dine with, eat with, be in fellowship with. How many times do we reflect on the question, how's your fellowship with God? Do you truly dine with Jesus? And I'm not talking the physical dinner. I get all that. I'm saying, is your connection with God on such a level that His presence is always there with you? He's not knocking at the door. He's already dining with you. You've already opened that up to Him. And He's conversing with you. To say, well, pray always sounds like such a monumental task. How do you do that? If I am always in fellowship with God, I am on a constant communion with Him. I'm just always there. When a joy comes into your life, here's a real challenge. Who do you tell first? Do you stop and thank God first? Or do you reach out and tell somebody else first? When pain and sorrow are in your life, who do you go to first? Your spouse, your best friend, someone that deeply cares about you? Or do you spend time in your Father's arms weeping? Fellowship takes us to a oneness with Christ. So I'm going to give you one more biblical example. Throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, the oneness between God and His people is explained in the imagery of a marriage. God is always the husband, and Israel or the church is the bride, the wife. We get that imagery, but it's not just simply a marriage. The point of a marriage is when God takes two and they become one. We live in a world that does not even believe that, let alone teach it. In fact, we'll fight against it. But God takes two, joins them together, and makes them one. So if this is the illustration that is used to describe my relationship with God, the church's relationship, Christian as the church relationship, then the oneness that I have, the intimacy that I have with God, should be so great that I would love Him like I do my spouse. Actually, greater than I do my spouse. But the concept of the love that I have to my spouse helps me to understand the concept of the love that I ought to have with God. This congregation is blessed with many who have been married for 50 plus years. And we see, we get an opportunity to see love in action. We see husbands and wives, even in advanced age, they're caring for each other. Walking with each other. Still holding hands. When Carrie and I first started dating, we always held hands wherever we went. We got married, we still held hands. We've been married 33 years. I had to think for just a moment, 33 years. And I will have to tell you, when we get out of the car to go into a store, she reaches out her hand to hold mine from the time we walk from the parking lot and as we're walking through the store. I will give Carrie truly the credit on that. My desire is when we've been married 50, 60, whatever years God gives us together, we're going to still be holding hands because we're first holding hearts. That there's a oneness between us that man cannot separate. If I can desire that oneness with my wife, if I could see that oneness in my parents or fellow Christians, that is the oneness that God wants to have with you and me. That is koinonia deep. When you ask yourself, why do marriages fail? I'm not convinced it's falling out of love like you fell into it, as though you tripped. Okay. I will tell you that there is a difference between losing or strengthening the oneness in your marriage. That I would tell you. And it's no different with God. The disciple who walks away isn't because he fell out of love with Jesus Christ. It's because that person didn't work on developing the oneness with God. They didn't see the depth of the union, the partnership, the sharing, the fellowship. So we come back to 1 John chapter 1. And we ask, how is your fellowship with God? We answer, are you walking in the light? We answer, am I pleasing him? We answer, do I hear his voice above all others? We answer, is my oneness with him so great I could not imagine life without him? So we pray to God, create in me a clean, a new heart. We cry out to him for this oneness, this fellowship that comes because, not because I have to do something to earn it, but because the love from God is so great. And the experience of walking with him is so sweet and wonderful that having tasted and been enlightened by that, I can't imagine not fellowshipping with God. Cry out to him today and deepen your fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with the Spirit. And if we can help you to do that, then won't you come as we stand and as we sing?